In the name of Jesus, amen. When my middle child, Van, was just learning how to talk, we'd be riding around Northern California, Redding area, and he would say something, and I'd say, "No way." And he would say, "Just joking, Dad." Or something would happen, and I can see it in the car with him in the car seat behind me. "Just joking, Dad. Just joking." Of course, he'd kind of get me, you know. He was kind of learning that you can actually use words to get people. And I was his target. And or something, you know, he would say something happened, and he'd come out to the garage. And I, you know, "Oh, my goodness." And he would say, "Just joking, Dad, just joking." You know, it's interesting as you know, I mean, for all of our families with little babies, this is part of the territory. You know, they start learning. They, you know, they listen to your word. I mean, they learn to talk to you because you talk to them. And then they start realizing there's all kinds of things they can do with words. And, you know, Van didn't do it that long. But he learned how to get his dad. And it's been something I've cherished and I've actually done in various and sundry ways. But it's interesting how we learn. We learn that we can use words to get people. And it starts pretty innocent. But then after a while, we start realizing that people, they get us to hurt us. Or they only tell us so much because that's all they want us to know. And, you know, you start wondering when the next shoe is going to drop or how many shoes are going to drop and what's coming next that no one has told me about. And then we start understanding the longer we live why people become cynical. And we're always wondering what kind of angles they're coming from or what their hidden agenda is. There's an Eastern Idaho early morning radio host that I've listened to every once in a blue moon while. And he wrote a book a while back titled Living in Spin. And how he makes the point that, boy, almost everything and anything can be spun. And you really don't even know what you're hearing, whether or not it's true. And you know, he talks about propaganda and censorship and how everything becomes kind of an agenda that's driven. And tragically, the same thing can happen in the church. Hidden agenda, power plays. And it's not just joking, Dad, just joking. You know, we're spending time in October looking at our Savior's last week of life. We call it Holy Week. And we're spending time just looking at Jesus' exchange with the leaders of the church and the leaders of the community. And Jesus is spending time explaining some of his most sacred, precious pictures of what it means to be church and how God views the church. And today we continue, but what's happened now, he was being ganged up on in front of all the regular people by the Pharisees, the elders of the community, and the priests. You know, the Pharisees were in charge of, they were the strong lay movement in Jesus' day, long before Jesus, actually. And they were responsible for the synagogue training. So wherever there was a synagogue or a rabbi, that was what the Pharisees were all about. But then you had the priesthood, and they were the Levitical priesthood, and they were in charge of the sacrificial system at the temple. There were priests in various and sundry communities, and they would be the priests that would be the health inspectors and whatnot. And then you had the elders, which really were the community leaders. And today, in just a few moments, you'll hear how the Pharisees decide to step away from their religious comrades, and they're actually going to do something quite interesting. They're actually going to kind of swallow their convictions and work with a group that has very, very different ideas of what the community was all about. We'll see how religious people like to use whatever they can to do what they want. In fact, we'll see how they'll use words to actually try to trick Jesus and catch him in something, a gotcha. We're also hearing about gotchas in our world today, and it's just part of that whole understanding of how we can use words in very powerful yet hidden ways for our own agendas. And so let's see what Jesus faces today. The title of our meditation is No Fooling Jesus. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Now, who in the world are the Herodians? These were kind of the nation builders. They thought that paying taxes, certainly appropriate, what Rome was trying to do to the Judean countryside was important. They were all about Rome and the family of Herod, actually, and what that long legacy family could do as governors of Judea. And so hardly a group, a good, upstanding Pharisee would ever want to even be seen with, let alone associate with and collaborate with, to ensnare anyone. So this is what desperate measures religious people will go to get their agenda through. I want you to take note of how they approach Jesus. You know, for those of you who have ever set snares or gone fishing, you know, you want to set a delightful trap. So you're going to be very careful in how you put that little loop on that limb that's bent over, so when the critter goes up it, it's just thinking food. And when the fish comes, it's just thinking a nice big juicy steak. And so they want to ensnare. And the idea of being ensnared is once the trap is sprung, all that critter can do is hang. And that's it. There's no getting out. And the wiggling makes the cinch tighter. And for the fish, the barb just goes in deeper and finally it catches a bone. Okay, here are these religious people collaborating with a group not friendly to their positions, and they want to ensnare a human being in a trap. How do they go about doing it? Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. Oh, you're a swell guy. You're a good teacher. What's that called? Buttering them up, right? What's that called? Setting the trap, right? What's interesting is they're just saying this, but it's the truth. Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. I mean, no truer words could be spoken of Jesus. And you do not care about anyone's opinion. Don't know about that. What's fascinating to me is Jesus is always willing to ask questions and talk and learn. But in other words, he can't be swayed. For you are not swayed by appearances. He treats everybody the same. He doesn't show partiality. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't give people just enough rope to hang themselves. He actually is showing up and doing his work, telling the truth, ministering, and carrying out mission. So that's the trap. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? What an interesting question. So the Herodians are all for the Roman Empire, and the Pharisees can't stand the Roman Empire. They want to be free. The Herodians want them to be even more so oppressed. And they bring up this question about taxes to Caesar. You know, the Pharisees say no, the Herodians say yes. And so Jesus is asked to answer it. So if he says to Caesar, then the Pharisees and everyone who is pro-Judea free of Rome won't like him. And if he says to Caesar, or the other way, if he says, or where am I at in my message? Let's see, where am I at? To be truthful with you? What did I say? I said, well, I'm sure glad he can answer it anyway. If he says one, he's got the Pharisees and everyone pro-free Judea against him. If he says don't pay, then Herod, and he becomes a rebel of the state, an outlaw, a criminal, a antagonist to the Roman government. And but Jesus, aware of their malice, interesting word. Malice means the intent to do harm. You know, moms, there are going to be times when your kids just think you're being malicious. And you might have to just learn to say, look, I'm not trying to get my pound of flesh. Now, when they call you on it and you do want to get your pound of flesh, you can say, forgive me for being malicious. Okay. Right? Dads too. But Jesus understands that all they want to do is hurt him. And so he calls them on it. Because he's aware of what's going on. Why put me to the test? That's the issue. You know, they've set a trap. They want to ensnare him. And then he calls them hypocrites. Now, in our day, in our time, you call someone a hypocrite, that's like fighting words. You know, that's a very negative term. And back then, I mean, you could actually render it this way. Why put me to the test, you actors? I mean, they're just putting on a show. They don't really care about how taxes are paid. In fact, they don't even care that he teaches the will of God truthfully. They don't even care that Jesus plays no favorites. In fact, that's part of the problem. It's amazing how some of what they say in setting him up is nothing but the truth. You and I would say nothing different, except for we would say it in faith and love and humble repentance, thankful for his grace. And of course, we even know that today we are here as hypocrites. In fact, we believe that as much as we try to live out our godly life, there are times when we just go along to get along. There are times where we just put on a show and we're not being the real deal. And of course, you and I, we say, forgive us, Lord, for all those ways that we just play the game. But for them, it's all about malice. Certainly, they're playing a game and they just want to get Jesus. And he calls them on it. There's no fooling Jesus. He knows what's going on. Show me the coin for the tax. So, you know, send me an email. Go get something and let's talk about this. So, you know, he wants to involve them in this. Doesn't have any money himself. He asked them to get some. And so they do. They brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. This is just such a cool answer. You know, sometimes I've heard in my ministry over the years that the Lutheran understanding of the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right has not always been around. Well, maybe it hasn't been taught clearly, but even here, Jesus is distinguishing the kingdom of the left in taxes and the kingdom of the right, God's rule and reign among his people, and really, in a sense, over all the earth. And so it goes all the way back to the first kingdom of the left, the family of Adam, and then the government that's intended and all that God does, even what he did through the king who didn't know him, who would become his battle axe to smash and destroy the idols of the nation so that there would be no God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it's fascinating how Jesus answers this. He distinguishes church and state. And he simply, again, shows God's will and ways truthfully. Shows no favoritism and holds to his opinion. And it's amazing. When they heard it, they marveled. Why did they marvel? Because he beat them at their own game? Certainly. Most certainly. You could almost see them going, ah, rats. He got out of our grip again. You would hope that they marveled because he spoke the truth. He answered their question. He proclaimed God's will and ways without favoritism. He simply did what he's been doing all along as he comes to seek and save the lost. And they left him and went away. That's how Matthew concludes it. They left him and went away. This is our Savior. And there's no fooling him. And that's really good news. What have you brought here today that still has you ensnared? Where do you find yourself thinking, man, how can I figure this out or get through this or who can help me? I mean, where in the world are you finding yourself thinking, gosh, this is just killing me. I don't understand why I've got to go through this. Where do you feel like you're hooked and you're dangling? Keep in mind, Jesus knows what to do. And there's no fooling him. Whether you've done this to yourself or others have done this to you or it's what's happening in the world around you and you just can't figure it out, there's no fooling Jesus. And he is for you. I mean, we know what happened after this. The pastor got kicked out of church. They were able to get trumped up charges to the civil authorities, and they were able to execute their civil authority. But that was the very thing, his sacrifice, his willingness to go the way of the cross for you, that saves you from everything and anything, and that gives you God's grace and peace. And even if the road ahead is broken, like we just sang, beautiful song, we have a companion who's with us. And there's no fooling Jesus. There's no fooling Jesus. It's kind of cool. We're studying Ephesians in between services in our Bible class. And, you know, we've worked through chapter 1. We're in chapter 2. We're going to get into chapter 3 next week, God willing. And it's fascinating. Paul starts off with being high on Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Look at all he's done. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then he's high on the church. You, 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 you. He's just so thankful that he knows there's a body of believers. And then he tells them what he's praying for them about. You know, all of us here are still growing in the faith. All of us here are just learning more and more what it means to be a believer. We're growing in our ability to see spiritual things. Without digressing too much, it's kind of like Neo in the Matrix. Neo could see the Matrix after he was brought to life, but we're still learning about the matrix of spirituality. Our eyes are being opened, the eyes of our hearts, to see the hope of our calling, the inheritance of Jesus among the saints, and the exceedingly great power that's working toward us so that we can live godly lives, the Holy Spirit. But this godly spirit, this godly power, this Holy Spirit working toward us also rose Jesus from the grave, and Jesus is now seated above all things, and so he is over all things for the sake of his church, his body, which is you. So whatever you find yourself struggling with, grappling with, feeling like you're being hung by, or hooked with, like a fish hook, Jesus has what's necessary to come to your rescue. So just talk to him about what you're going through, what you're dealing with. And trust that he is leading you in godly ways. Just like he did so many back then, even if there were plenty that said no thanks and only wanted to trick him in his words. And you know, we're living in a time where it just seems like this living in spin is really true. We're not sure what to think about what we hear and see, even experience, and we think, what's going on here? So this is where, you know, we stay close to the one who's not fooled by anything. The one who went the way of the cross for us. The one who is our constant companion. The one who calls us to follow. And it's good news. It's good news. He is for you and with you and loves you and will help you like no other. And there's no fooling Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.